songs. We praise you for your word, which teaches us all we need to know about you, about us, about what this is all about, and how we can be right with you through the death and resurrection of Jesus. We praise you that Christ is ours if we have trusted in him, and we are his. We belong to him. We talked in Sunday school about how we are the bride. He is the bridegroom. The Bible uses that imagery. And Father, we praise you for that love and that tenderness and that union that we have with him. We praise you that we can be here today as believers rejoicing in what he has done and encouraging one another in our faith. We pray that in this hour, as we worship you, you would be glorified, your name lifted high, Christ lifted up, his sacrifice at Calvary remembered. This is a special day each month where we partake of the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, where we remember the body and blood of Christ that was given for us that day, that we could be saved, that our sins could be washed away, and that we could be reunited to you and spend eternity with you as a promise, something that cannot be lost. And we praise you for all of these things. We pray that in this hour, the Holy Spirit would guide this time, that we will hear your voice through your word, and as you use your servant, as he preaches the message, and as we gather around the table, we pray that in all of these things, you will be lifted high, we'll be encouraged, drawn closer to you and to one another, and leave this place changed people, closer to you and more faithfully serving you and walking with you as we continue on this journey to heaven. We give you thanks for all these things. Commit the hour to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be
morning from chapter 61. We've been studying now in Isaiah for quite some time. And here we go, chapter 61 of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father, it's so good to be in your house this morning, and we're so glad to see these folks here with us today. We've prayed for them for so long, and we just thank you for each one of them and pray your blessings upon them. We do want to remember Peter as he's over in Greece, we pray, I guess, and pray that you'll be with him as he's ministering over there. We thank you for this work that they're doing in Greece, and we pray that your will would be done there. We think also this morning of Pam. We thank you that she's back with us and her mom's here. And we just pray that you'll give her a complete healing after this stroke that she suffered. We pray, too, for Tom Nichols today, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll undertake for him and grant that he would continue to improve. And be with any others, dear Lord, who are suffering today. You know some are missing. We wonder where they may be, and we pray that you'll undertake for them as well. Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy to us. We do want to pray for the Bardens. We pray for the work that they're doing there. Now they've moved to back to the area where they used to minister and working in a different church. We pray your richest blessings upon them. Thank you that you have answered their prayers and given them this new home. And we pray now that you'll bless that ministry as they reach out to these people who have been deluded in so many ways. And Lord, that you will help them to come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Father, we just pray your blessings upon this work and all of our missionaries. Thank you that we have the privilege of helping some of these missionaries with their work. And we just ask you to continue to give them the strength and health that they need. And be with each one of us today, Lord. Bless as we seek to know you better, as we look into your word, as we have communion together. May we truly rejoice in all of your goodness. We just praise you and thank you for all that you are. In Jesus' name, amen. I did want to make an announcement about Genesis Women's Clinic is having their, it's a fundraising event, but it's a banquet. It's on October 27th at 7 o'clock at the Berean, that's a hard word to say, Berean Bible Church in Pottstown. So, and you have to get tickets to go. So I don't know. I'm not sure what they cost, but probably $20, $25. Anyway, anyone who wants to go. Next, we thought we would put in a request as a church if, you know, if there's others that's interested. Several of us are. And so if you'd like to do that, let us know by next week, and we'll turn in the number that are coming. Okay? So, okay, we'll... I wanted to mention that today. All righty. Looking once again in Isaiah chapter 61. And here in this chapter, we see the two advents of Christ. When he was here the first time and when he's coming again. All right. It's a wonderful prophecy. You have to realize that this was some 700 years or so before Christ ever came the first time. And yet we have right here the event that he's talking about when he came to earth. So he's speaking both of both comings of Christ. When he came the first time to proclaim the good news of salvation and provide the way for people to be redeemed and died on the cross, of course, to die, to take away our sins. And then the second time when he comes back in his glorious return to earth to rule and reign in righteousness. We see all the joy that's expressed here in this last part of the chapter. But first of all, notice the first two verses. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Who is the me? The prophet here is writing this. Is he talking about himself? Or is he talking about someone else? It'll be evident as we go along. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. It's the one that is anointed of God. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Excuse me. So to read these verses, we don't know who he's talking about, do we? The person who hasn't had a background in the scriptures would not know. But we know. Look over in chapter 4 of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 4. And we're going to begin with verse 16. Excuse me. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." So here we have, of course, the Lord Jesus speaking in the synagogue of Nazareth. This was his hometown. You remember, he had been going around Galilee, preaching in all the different synagogues and giving out the gospel. And now he's back in his hometown of Nazareth. And here he's reading this passage from Isaiah chapter 61. Now, whether that was the passage for the day, I don't know, or whether he chose it. But anyway, it's very appropriate, isn't it, to think that this is who he's talking about here is the Lord Jesus himself. He identifies himself as the Messiah. You notice that? You know, we usually think of that when he came into Jerusalem riding on the donkey. We say that's when he identified himself. But here also, he says, he has anointed me to preach the gospel. You know, the word Messiah means the anointed one, right? And here, just like they anointed the kings and the priests and the prophets in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to this one who would come, the Messiah, the anointed one of God that he chose to send to this earth to accomplish his will and purpose, right? And here, what did he come to do? He explained why he had come. If you look here in the verses we just read, it says, first of all, he came to preach the gospel to the poor, to those who were really in need, those who needed to know some good news. The gospel, of course, means good news, glad tidings. And so he's giving them some message that's going to be beneficial, something that's going to be helpful to them, and something that will answer their needs, the gospel. We well know what the gospel is. Paul tells us very clearly that the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. But when Jesus first came, he started out preaching this good news to the poor, those who were down and out, those who needed to be helped and strengthened. He came to, it says, to heal the brokenhearted. Those who are have had a hard time in life, those who have seen their dreams disappear, the brokenhearted. He came to put that heart back together again, so to speak, right? To heal the brokenhearted. He came to preach deliverance to the captives, those who have been caught, especially in sin, those who have cannot see their way clear. They're captives. He came to break the chains, didn't he? To take the chains away and to set them free from all of their burdens, heartaches. And he can do that if we will only respond in faith to his word. He came to to preach deliverance to the captives. He came to give sight to the blind. How many times we see during his ministry how he opened the eyes of the blind, right? And meeting the needs, all the other miracles that he performed as well. So many wonderful things that Jesus did when he was here. Showing forth to them who he was. Revealing to them the Father who had sent him. And here, recovering the sight of the blind. Yeah, I think that's one of the worst things a person can experience. Maybe not. There's other things too, I'm sure. Limitations that we have. But not to be able to see, you know. That's so difficult, isn't it? Not to be able to see all the beauty around and how to walk, talk. Well, you can talk, but how you can not to be able to see. And Jesus said, what can I do for you? To the blind Bartimaeus, right? What do you want? Oh, Lord, that I might see. That's it. And he opened his eyes. He could see. And he followed him in the way. Huh? We've had our eyes open, haven't we? Have you had your eyes opened? We were poor, lost sinners in need of a Savior. And Jesus came and he opened our eyes, right? Amen. We were blinded by Satan and by sin. And Jesus came, took away the blinders, and now we can see the truth of the Word of God. And then to set at liberty the bruised, right? To set them at liberty. Set them free from their bondage and all that's holding them back. And then he says to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What's the acceptable year of the Lord? What do you think? You know, maybe it's when he sets forth this message and he says, okay, believe it, accept it. The acceptable year of the Lord. We live today in the day of age of grace, right? This is the acceptable year of the Lord, isn't it? We can put our faith and trust in Jesus. And he will set us free. It's the acceptable year of the Lord. Preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, notice Jesus stopped reading the prophecy right in the middle of the sentence. If we read it there in Isaiah, and we see that he stopped reading before he finished, right? He said to, let me see if I can find it again. Oh, here you go. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Jesus stopped after the acceptable year of the Lord because the day of vengeance has not yet come, right? But it's coming. It's coming. And we have right now, God is accepting us, right? The acceptable year. I was reading some other scripture on this. It talked about the, let me see now, the liberty that we have. It's over in the book of Leviticus where the day of Jubilee, that's it. The day of Jubilee, that was a special time when God was working in a real way to help these people, to set them free. You know, with the 50th year, everyone, all their debts were canceled. How about that? Huh? 50th year. And the year of Jubilee, anyone who was a servant was set free. Anyone who owed a debt, it was set free, right? And they, if they had sold their land, it would go back to the original owner, right? That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Think about that. You can't lose on that. And God had said, this is the acceptable year. But then Jesus stopped. That was his mission when he came the first time, wasn't it? To proclaim these truths and to set people free from their sins and eventually to go and provide the sacrifice for their sins on the cross of Calvary. So it says the day of vengeance of our God. That's still for the future. During the tribulation period, that God is going to wreak his vengeance on the world, punishing those who have sinned against him. And that's during the seven-year tribulation. We talked about that somewhat this morning in Sunday school. It was not fulfilled at that time, but it most certainly will be when he comes again. You know, the Bible also talks about the Jesus coming back to take us home. We know that. We preach that all the time, don't we? The rapture, we're looking forward to that. But then after that, he's coming back to earth, right? He still has his plan. Second coming and the restoration of God's people. Look back with me again to Isaiah 61. And we read verse 3. He's talking here, when the Lord Jesus returns as king, he will turn sorrow into gladness for those who know him. It'll be like changing a funeral into a wedding. Huh? That's what he talks about here. He's going to come to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You see, when someone passes away, we have sorrow, yes, but now it's going to turn into joy. Jesus, when he comes again, everything's going to be changed, isn't it? For those who know him, those who are waiting, looking, watching, for him to come, it's going to be like changing a funeral into a wedding. We are Israel, speaking primarily. Isaiah, of course, was a prophet to Israel, to Judah, right? And so he's talking to them as well. We have to try to keep these people straight. You know, we have the church in the New Testament. We have got the Israel in the Old. But God is still dealing with Israel, And when he comes again, he's going to change their darkness into light, change their funeral into a wedding. And God is the husband of Israel. Now, did you know that? You know, the New Testament speaks about Christ being the husband, or that we are the bride of Christ. That's the way it expresses it, right? And we belong to him. And we're looking forward to that day when we will have that wonderful marriage supper of the Lamb and all the rest that we talked about this morning. But at any rate, we see here the blessing is going to be when he does come. Verse 3 pictures the mourners drying their tears, putting on festive garments. And verse 10 describes the nation rejoicing. Look at verse 10 again. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. So what a wonderful picture that is. You know, a wedding is a wonderful thing, isn't it? We always rejoice, and especially in Israel, they had these special clothes that they wore, the crown that they would put on, and all the rest. And he says it's going to be like that when Jesus comes again for those who know him. As I say, Israel was married to Jehovah God, but the nation was unfaithful. You remember last week we talked about that, right? The spiritual adultery that Israel had in going after the other idols and forsaking worshiping God Almighty. And so that's what he's talking about here, that now there's going to be a return. When Jesus comes back, they'll all recognize him, and they will receive him as their Lord and Savior. And let's see here. When Christ returns and the nation is saved, it says all Israel is going to be saved, right, when he comes back. She will again be married to the Lord. Now look at chapter 62 and verse 4. It says, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, and the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Okay, now they have been forsaken for a while. They're in spiritual darkness. But he says when Christ comes back again that they're going to be, they're not going to be forsaken anymore. They're going to be, this word Hephzibah, it means my delight is in her. Now I couldn't believe it. There is a church over in, I think, Lancaster County called the Hephzibah Baptist Church. What in the world does that mean? Well, it says here, my delight is in her. Huh? It's a wonderful thing to go to church, isn't it? I think so. And here we have the this Hephzibah, when God is delighted with his people. Hmm. And Beulah means married. So once again, they've restored their relationship, and they are following the Lord. Now, verse 5, this is of chapter 62. Pictures the Lord rejoicing over his bride. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. You see, God has not finished with Israel, and he is going to marry them once again. And just like Christ is the husband for the church, God the Father is the husband of Israel. So, there we go. Now, what's going to happen here? In chapter 61, verse 4, it talks about God's people rebuilding what was ruined. They shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Everything's going to be restored. God's going to put everything back in place. And they'll be set apart to serve the Lord. In verse 6, notice what it says. It says, but ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. So here they're going to be special servants of God. They're going to serve Him and be faithful to Him during that time. The Lord will make an everlasting covenant with them. You know, throughout the Bible we find a number of covenants, right? Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and all these others, the new covenant that God has made with these people. And here it's going to be the everlasting covenant. This is one's not going to end. You know, we think about that. We're going to live with God in heaven forever. That's everlasting, isn't it? Wow. You know, down here, we live for a while, and then we're gone, right? What happens? What happens to that person? He goes to heaven if he's a believer, right? Yeah. And someday we'll all be together. So that's a wonderful thing to think about. God's people will greatly rejoice. And He's going to make an everlasting covenant. And they will enjoy the blessings of salvation and righteousness. Notice verse 9 again. I'm almost finished. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has blessed. The seed which the Lord has blessed. Isn't it wonderful? Think of that. The blessing of the Lord. That's what we need above all else. And then this wonderful verse 10. I know I've read it a couple times, but I'm going to read it once more. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Do you rejoice in the Lord? Yes. My soul shall be joyful in my God. My soul, my innermost being, that which has been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, it rejoices, it's joyful. He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. We're saved, saved. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. We've been made righteous in Christ. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, the bride adorns herself with her jewels. We're rejoicing in the Lord and serving Him. So, how wonderful that God keeps all of His promises, you know. He made promises to Israel. He's made promises to us as His people. And He always keeps His promises. Isn't that wonderful? You know, He also keeps His promises to those who rebel against Him, who turn away from Him. The wages of sin is death, right? So God keeps His promises. We just need to accept Him, believe in Jesus as our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer, and He will give us all of these blessings that we're reading about here today in this wonderful chapter. God keeps His promises, and He will continue. We are included in all the blessings that He will bestow upon us. If we've received Jesus as our Savior, then we can look forward to that eternal life that He offers. This is the acceptable time. He says, come unto me. all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. For now and later, you'll have eternal rest with him in heaven. He offers to all those who believe in him these things. So, as we now we're going to have the Lord's Supper and remember once again what Jesus has done for us, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for your grace and love to us. We thank you for the salvation we have in Christ Jesus and that you always keep your word. We know that. And we praise you and thank you for it. We just pray that you'll look down upon us today if there's anything in our hearts that should not be there, anything that we've done that's wrong in your sight. I pray that you'll forgive us. May we confess our sins to you. And Lord, if there's anyone here who's never trusted Jesus as their Savior, maybe this be the time when they would call upon him, put their faith in and trust in him. Thank you so much for all your goodness to us. Guide us and help us and lead us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.